Now, for those of you in the Northern Hemisphere, has the winter finally arrived yet, or is it unseasonably warm? Here's Richard Hollingham with One Planet.
A beautiful, warm, sunny day. The wind is rustling through the trees, the daffodils are blooming, larks are singing, there are butterflies and bumblebees. But at this time of year, shouldn't it be a lot colder? In the BBC's One Planet, whatever happened to winter?
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Man, 30 years ago, winters in Britain were very different. I have the pictures to prove it. There I am in my mittens, luridly coloured woolly hat and red wellies. I was 7, you understand. There are pictures of snowmen, sledging, and even an impressive cave that my sister and I dug into a snowdrift. These were proper winters. But don't just take my word for it. All over the world, winters seem to be becoming shorter and milder.
We almost hardly feel that it was a winter because it's so warm and the seasons become not that different to each other.
It is been the craziest weather ever. I have to wear boots to come to work because I'm going over these ice patches and these snow drifts. And last month I was coming in a t-shirt and shorts.
It's nothing weather. It is not bad and not good, but you must always be in your Icelandic sweater.
So what's causing these changes? Are we simply witnessing natural variations in weather and climate, or are we starting to feel the effects of global warming? We'll hear from people across the world who are struggling to make sense of the weather and try to get some straight answers from two eminent climate scientists. First, here's Lang Yen, recalling her childhood in Beijing.
When I was young, the winter was much colder than now. When I was in elementary school, my mom always dressed me like a little bear. I had to put on lots of layers of clothes, very thick cotton coat made by my grandma. So that's just my memory. It's like it's always freezing. We have so much snow at that time, and we always play outside when it was snowing, you know, playing snowballs and also like build a snowman. I skate like with my cousins at that time. Even like a normal river, small river in the city, they got frozen in the winter, so we can skate on that. I think now, like some lake in Beijing, like Hohai, the ice is very thin now. It's quite dangerous to skate on them. But we almost hardly feel that it was a winter because it's so warm and the seasons become not that different to each other.
So what does Dr. Rowan Sutton from the Walker Institute for Climate System Research in southern England make of those observations?
Well, she is describing trends that many people have observed in many different parts of the world. There, of course, has been a significant warming, and that's been seen over much of the Northern Hemisphere and indeed the Southern Hemisphere, although the Northern Hemisphere at present is significantly warmer. And it's been observed particularly in winter time. And in Europe, for example, we have seen that the recent winters in the UK are well over a degree warmer than they were 30 or so years ago. And that's associated with trends in snow and ice, for example, that the lady from China was describing.
I did love her description of being dressed like a little bear when she was a girl. This is what everyone's talking about, isn't it? That winters are getting warmer, particularly in the Northern Hemisphere.
Well, indeed. And the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change recently concluded that the Earth as a whole has warmed up by about 0.7 degrees over the last 100 years, and the warming recently has been more rapid than was true early in the century.
Can you attribute this to climate change? That's the crunch question.
That really is, of course, a very important question. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change concluded that most of the observed warming since the mid-20th century is, and I quote, very likely due to the observed increase in greenhouse gas concentrations. Now, it doesn't follow from that a single warm winter in one location is simply attributable to greenhouse gases. One has to look at the longer-term trends and the larger spatial-scale patterns. When one is looking at individual locations, say China, there is of course a lot of year-to-year variability, and that's attributable to variations in the atmosphere and indeed in the oceans.
So there is a natural variation going on, a natural cycle, if you like, of climate.
Yes, I wouldn't describe it as a cycle in the sense that it doesn't necessarily repeat itself, but there is a lot of variability from year to year, as of course everyone is familiar with, but also on longer time scales, that would arise in the absence of any human effects on climate. However, when we look over the longer time scales of 50 or 100 years, it is clear that the recent century has been very unusual, and this is attributable with high probability to the effects of human activities, particularly emitting greenhouse gases.
Climate scientist Rowan Sutton. If there's one place you'd expect to get ice, it's Iceland. We'll hear from a farmer there in a couple of moments after we've headed to the ski slopes of Norway and our reporter on skis, Lars Bevanger.
In Norway, it's been a funny winter because these woods just outside Oslo, crisscrossed by cross-country ski trails, were green and snowless until late January. I, for one, cannot remember a single Christmas for over 30 years when it didn't snow here. But at the end of December, there were green fields everywhere. That's highly unusual, and not least frustrating for people like me who are used to setting off cross-country skiing in these woods, perhaps as early as the beginning of November. Well, I've just crossed tracks with you, Lasse Kollerud. You're one of the many keen skiers here in the forest outside Oslo, and you come here with your dog today to have an early ski run. The snow is not bad now, but what's it been like so far this year?
It has been quite a short winter with little snow and very high temperatures. It's just last 4 weeks we have had decent skiing.
And if it gets worse from here, say there's even shorter winter next year and shorter winter next year, what's that going to do to your lifestyle?
I have to do something with my lifestyle. I have to consider how much I'm driving, how I'm warming up my house.
And you might have to find another spare time activity, less skiing, maybe more running.
I'm very lucky because I have ski slopes just outside my home. I can still ski.
If there's no snow.
If there's snow, yeah.
Okay, well, you better get your dog and get skiing and have a nice trip. Good luck.
Thank you.
Hey, Daniel. Come on.
Bye.
Now, if you come to these woods on a weekend, and it's easy to do, just a 20-minute tram ride from the centre of Oslo, the place is heaving with cross-country skiers. Some are actively training, like Lasse here, but mostly it's families on their Sunday outing, taking a packed lunch and hot chocolate. If snowy winters become a rarity, for thousands of people here, it would mean a forced change of lifestyle. We Norwegians pride ourselves on being active, outdoorsy kind of people, but a rainy, snow-free winter could easily kill off that spirit.
My name is Örn Þorleifsson, and I'm living on the farm in East Iceland. The weather is changing in Iceland, and we recognize that, and here on this farm, it's nothing weather. It is not bad and not good, but you must always be in your Icelandic sweater. What we were used for 10 years ago, it was a snow, but now is it rain, and I am very happy with that. Why the snow is always problem maker, and the rain is running away, so I can do everything. But it is not nice to be wet to the skin every day for animals, and I recognize it by the horses. They can standing outside in minus 20 centigrade in winter and snow blowing. That's to them nothing. But when they are wet to the skin and they need much more food, they are shouting and they try to come home and go inside. Why they have nothing else? They are outside every year. So you must take much more care of the horses today as for 10, 15 years ago.
Örn Þorleifsson, who farms in the remote settlement of Husey in northeast Iceland. Whether we like frost, snow and ice, or
quite frankly, we're happy enough without them, milder winters don't just affect humans. Many plants and several types of crops need a good long cold snap to enable them to grow properly. After mild, wet winters, farmers have reported drops in yields. Frost also knocks out diseases lurking in the soil, giving plants a healthy start in the spring. Animals, too, are reacting to the changes.
OK, so let's have a look through the telescope which you've got set up here.
So I've just actually managed to train it on a little group of widgeon that are just resting in the morning sunshine that we have here at Raynham.
At Raynham Marshes on the River Thames east of London, Graham Madge from the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds shows me the wide variety of bird life that's attracted to this area of flooded grassland. Birds congregate here from across the globe. Some will stay for a while, others are simply in transit.
Most of the birds which come to the Thames are birds which come here in winter. Birds will arrive on the Thames Gateway all across from Arctic Canada, right the way through Iceland, from Scotland, Scandinavia, right across to Arctic Russia. And all of these birds come here for one reason, and that is that the Thames Gateway and other estuaries around the UK coastline are like motorway service stations. So for tired and hungry travellers, these birds pile into these particular areas in search of food.
Give us a sense then of how things have changed, because you've noticed changes. This is winter, but there are perhaps birds here that shouldn't be here, or birds that should be here that aren't.
What we're seeing at the moment is a gradual reduction in the numbers of birds which spend the winter in the UK. So we've seen in the last two decades a gradual shift away from the west coast estuaries, where birds used to have to escape the colder conditions in the east of Britain. Now those birds are finding the east coast estuary slightly more to their liking, so we're seeing a shift eastwards as birds don't need to travel so far in order to escape the harshest conditions and find food. And our fear is that because the UK is so important for these 2 million or so birds which spend the winter with us, that these birds won't be able or need to travel as far to the UK in order to find food. Now for some birds that might not be too much of a problem, but for birds particularly which rely on our estuaries, there will be a problem, because those sorts of habitats really, apart from areas like Germany and the Netherlands, don't exist anywhere else within Northwest Europe.
So has there been a big overall change then in the migration patterns of birds?
Yes, there has, and it's taken place over a remarkably short time. In our gardens now, we can even notice a change in the number of birds which are spending the winter with us. 30, 40 years ago, it would have been exceptional to get birds called blackcaps in winter. This is a very common bird, and we all have them around in our woodlands in summer. But increasingly, the numbers of blackcaps which are spending the winter with us has increased. And we know from ringing studies that these are birds which have been ringed in Germany and Austria, which instead of moving to the Mediterranean and North Africa in winter, are actually altered their migration pattern to spend the winter here. Now, it could be that with a few very hard winters, that trait will be bred out as the birds won't be able to survive. But at the moment, these birds are coming in increasing numbers, and it's possible now to see them in gardens all over the UK. 50 years ago, you wouldn't have seen one.
Graham Madge at one of the motorway service stations of the bird world. Turn east at London. While records show that the weather in some countries is getting warmer in winter, other places are seeing dramatic changes from year to year, with tremendous extremes of temperature. Take Moscow, for example. Here's the story in January 2006.
Schools are shut, traffic has stopped, and people are dying. Temperatures in Moscow have plunged to minus 30 degrees Celsius, making the city even colder than the sun.
1 year later, January 2007, and there was no sign of winter at all.
We're staying for the moment with coverage of our weather, and Russia is known for the severity of its climate. At least it was until this winter. Temperatures in the Russian capital are about 15 degrees above the average for this time of year. The country is having its
No one's been sure what to make of it, and although it's got colder since, it's all, well, a bit weird. The BBC's James Rogers recorded this report in the middle of Moscow's winter.
Moscow is in shock. At this time of year, the people on the city's pavements should be shivering, slipping and sliding on sheets of snow and ice. But the digital display on the building opposite where I'm standing shows a temperature of +4 degrees Celsius. And for the Russian capital in January, that's pretty much the equivalent of a heat wave.
It's not just humans who are confused. These birds at Moscow Zoo might normally have been silenced by sub-zero temperatures. Zoo staff like Natalia Istratova say that things are very different this year.
The bears did go into hibernation at the end of December, when there was finally some snow. But the snow melted, and the brown bears don't sleep deeply. The female wakes up to drink, and the male even to eat.
On the banks of the Moscow River, the traffic is flowing freely. So is the water below. There should be a thick coating of ice at this time of year, but grey waves reflect the clouds overhead. What's really strange about this weather is that the corresponding week last year was one of the coldest ever in Moscow. Temperatures fell below minus 30 Celsius. This year, they're about 15 degrees above average. And as Alexei Lyakov of the Moscow Weather Center told me, mild weather means dull skies.
It is a very bad situation because we have a very dark weather. Usually in winter, when we have snow, we have more light in our environment. But this year, the weather in December, in January, is very dark in Moscow region.
People are missing the sun that comes with a sharp frost and feeling pretty gloomy about it. Doctors advise that bananas and chocolate will cheer them up. Some in the Russian Orthodox Church fear that the warm winter is a punishment from God, and they're preparing to pray for snow.
Moscow, king to D7, Karol, this year, top.
In the meantime, Muscovites are missing out on their winter sports. Even this ice chess game, played on a video link between London and Moscow, drew to a close just in time. The pieces were starting to melt. Perhaps the tabloid newspaper Moskovsky Komsomolets has best defined the mood of a perplexed nation. It compared the weird weather to the other changes which have taken place here in the last two decades and joked that the country's communist former rulers would never have allowed it.
James Rogers reporting from the balmy streets of Moscow. It's not just Russian bears that are confused by the weather. It seems that in many places the animals have given up hibernating altogether. Victor Watkins, the Director of Wildlife at the World Society for the Protection of Animals, told me what should usually happen.
As winter approaches, bears would tend to feed as much as possible on high-calorie foods like nuts and berries. In the later stages, they will tend to eat something like 20,000 calories worth of food a day.
20,000? Just compare that with what a human would eat. We're on what? A couple of thousand.
A couple of thousand, yes.
So 10 times the amount we
yes,
would eat.
Yes, really stuffing the calories in, building up fat reserves. So the bears get fatter and fatter. They build up a very thick layer of fat around their bodies. That is all to prepare them for the time when there's food, less food available. If there's no snow in the area, if there's a very warm time, then the bear will keep feeding. The hibernation is only going to take place if the food disappears at a certain stage.
So let's go through that. If we've got a trend which we've certainly had in recent years of warmer winters, milder winters, shorter winters, what does that mean for bears?
It generally means that the bears will be able to feed for longer periods, because if there is less snow or if it's a warmer winter, the bear can roam further, it can feed continuously, and so long as it finds food, it will keep out and about, it won't hibernate.
Well, what's the problem with that? I mean, is there a downside of that? The bear's happy, presumably, because it's eating all the time. Not hibernating doesn't really matter, does it?
Absolutely. For a bear, it just needs to keep feeding. So it's not a problem for the bear, but it may be a problem if the food becomes less and less scarce, which means that the bear has to move it further and further afield to find its food. That could possibly bring the bear into more contact with people and could potentially cause what we call a human-bear conflict situation.
Are you seeing that in places around the world then, just from your observations and reports that you're getting?
Yes, we've heard that in many countries now the bears are out later than they would normally be, And there are more reports of bears being seen coming closer to human habitation, closer to villages, closer to houses, in the search for food. So there's certainly some evidence to say that bears are on the lookout for food at times of the year where they wouldn't have previously been doing so.
So is this going to have an impact on bear populations? If there is more conflict with humans, presumably there's going to be, I mean, if you live in a village, you're not going to want bears roaming around, are you?
Absolutely not. The downside of this is that potentially some of the bears may be killed. People don't want bears walking through the villages. They don't want them rummaging through their rubbish bins. And there will be some incidences where bears will be killed. So there is a potential for bears to die because of this particular problem.
So let's get back to humans and hear from another place where they're used to cold winters, the home of the President of the United States, Washington, D.C.
It has been the craziest weather ever, and I have lived here most of my life, but I was walking to work. I have to wear boots to come to work because I'm going over these ice patches and these snow drifts, and last month I was coming in a t-shirt and shorts. It's just been really nuts. I mean, I was bike riding to the metro. Now I have to gear up. I have to put on so many layers of clothes. It's just been really, really a crazy winter here. Previous winters were just more normal. You know, you could kind of get prepared for it. It was the normal seasons, you know, so you didn't have to keep putting clothes on and taking them off and rearranging your whole closets on the count of what kind of day it was going to be. It's just been nuts. It's been really difficult to kind of come to terms with. I'm so looking forward to spring. I just cannot wait for the warm weather to come and stay.
I'm Brenda Eckwurzel, and I'm the climate scientist at the Union of Concerned Scientists.
We've just heard what nuts, outrageous, the craziest weather. Is this something that everyone's noticing across the U.S.?
Yes, I think for the first time, really, people are starting to notice what we call sort of season creep, in that the winter is taking a little bit longer to start. So there's a delay. There's warmer fall temperatures. And spring is coming earlier. The buds come out earlier and so on and so forth. And people are starting to notice over the past few years. I mean, one of the key elements is that 11 of the last 12 years rank among the 12 hottest years on record since 1850, when we have really sufficient records. Climate change is more of a long-term pattern that we look at over decades. And really, when people are tempted to look at a blizzard or a heat wave, a single weather event like that doesn't prove anything about climate change. But what we do see is the longer-term trends are starting to show that the background conditions under which weather is occurring is definitely shifting, and that means that we're having shifts in our extreme weather.
I was going to mention that because a few mild winters, well, they've happened before, haven't they? We get mild winters. Every country gets mild winters. Every country gets very cold winters. The phrase in the UK is two swallows don't make a spring, that we tend to look at things in very small timescales. Can you say there's a definite trend, though?
Well, what we do have is that thankfully, scientists have been drilling for years in ice cores all over, from tropical glaciers as well as the big, large ice sheets in Greenland and Antarctica. And that's pushing the record of climate back to 800,000 years. The more high-resolution records of, say, the little gases that are trapped in there that cause global warming, such as carbon dioxide and methane and nitrous oxide and so on, those show that we are in an unprecedented period of very high levels of carbon dioxide and heat-trapping gases than we've ever seen over the past 650,000 years. And they take a dramatic upturn after the industrial age begins.
What about, though, natural variations? I mean, the Earth's gone through ice ages before. It's gone through warm periods before. There are surely other factors that could explain mild winters.
Exactly. And that's because we have Earth as the experiment. It has gone through many climate changes in the past, and we study them very carefully in paleoclimate studies. And we understand how sensitive the Earth is to different changes in what we call climate drivers. And what we find is slight changes in solar variation are important over the long term, and changes in a volcanic explosion that might blow up some reflecting particles into the atmosphere and cool the Earth. These things go hand in hand. And what we understand is that when we look at solar variations over the last century, That hasn't changed as much compared to the dramatic increase in carbon dioxide and methane and other heat-trapping gases. And so what we're seeing is that our human-induced climate drivers are swamping the natural climate drivers. It's not as if we erase the natural cycles. They keep going on. It's just we are tilting them in a way towards a warmer planet.
Now, those of us who grew up with very cold winters, who tell our children that winter is not what it used to be, we're right, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. It has changed.
Sitting here at the BBC, leafing through my old photos, I can't help feeling nostalgic for proper winters. This year, we had just one day of snow in southern Britain. Mind you, it still brought the roads, railways and airports to a standstill and shut the schools. But as most people in London, Moscow, Washington, Beijing or Oslo will testify, a cold, crisp winter's day with snow on the ground is infinitely preferable to the mild, damp, miserable winters many of us are having to get used to. And it seems the winters of our youth are unlikely to return.
Still goodbye, but as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
This week's One Planet was presented by Richard Hollingham. The producer was Neil Bowdler. To contact the programme or listen again, go to bbcworldservice.com and select One Planet in the programme menu. And whatever the weather, programme's back, same time next week. BBC.